Welcome to the Analysys Mason podcast. I'm Martin Scott, a research director at Analysys Mason, and I head up part of our consumer research focused on TV, video, gaming, the metaverse, but also our fixed broadband work. And today I'm in conversation with Oliver Brough, analyst, who is one of the lead authors for our fixed broadband strategies work. Today, we'll be discussing how changing demand for cloud XR, so extended reality, be that AR, VR, mixed reality, whatever you want to call it, and metaverse-type applications will affect network traffic over the next 5 years, and how that leads to a need for improved in-home networking. Say hello, Oliver.
Hi. So before we actually get into this, Martin, could you just define what the metaverse actually is for us?
Yeah, sure. Sorry, don't worry. You've not clicked back to 2022 in your podcast settings here. It is 2024 as we record this. And the metaverse is, in some people, it's a sort of a dirty word. But I got very excited recently. For those of you that have been keeping an eye on things like the Disney company Epic Games partnership, which was announced in February 2024. Tim Sweeney, the CEO of Epic Games, described how they were going to build a persistent, open, and interoperable ecosystem that will bring together the Disney and Fortnite communities. They're using a lot of the words there that sound like metaverse to me. So the metaverse, I say simply put, but can you put these things simply? It's the superset, so the kind of the collection of all current and future virtual spaces that are either entirely virtual or that augment or enhance existing reality. So it's AR or VR spaces that are interconnected, that are standards-based, and that are persistent, so that have a relationship with reality. So everyone sees the same thing happening at the same time, or if everyone leaves a virtual room and someone comes back into the virtual room, the same things are still in the same place. It's reset, like a level on a computer game. So when Tim Sweeney says a persistent, open, and interoperable ecosystem, that shouts metaverse to me. That's the simple answer to what the metaverse is. And we're not at that point yet. In particular, anything to do with open standards, interoperable ecosystems take time. And certainly, there's not the buy-in of certain big players in XR like Apple, for example. And so for that reason, we also often refer to metaverse-type services. Partly this is because there's a bit of disagreement about quite what the metaverse is, and lots of people use the term in a very relaxed, poorly defined way. So I wanted to find a way to articulate something that was consistent with the way other industry players talk about the metaverse in that very loose way, whilst also maintaining a kind of intellectual robustness about definitions. So metaverse type services is all of the fun WYSI XR VR type stuff. Also a lot of kind of cloud rendered virtual and 3D type stuff. From a traffic point of view, they all are similar kinds of things in that it is cloud rendered virtual stuff where there's a lot of input and a lot of output and a really strong demand for low latency and higher throughputs than we have today.
Thanks, Martin. That makes a lot of sense. In our fixed network data traffic forecast, we do predict that there'll be what we refer to as a modest metaverse effect on fixed broadband traffic up to 2028. And as you were saying, we're not really there with the metaverse yet. It's not a fully fledged metaverse. But as metaverse type applications evolve and we get closer to the real thing, similar to what you were saying, a lot of processing and video rendering will have to happen on the cloud. And that is what we expect to increase network traffic before the end of the decade. This won't be an issue for operators' wireline network capacity because there's already a lot of headroom over operators' existing FTTP networks and the future FTTP networks that they're planning to roll out as well. What will be a pain point, however, is in-home connectivity. Services based on Wi-Fi 5 and Wi-Fi 6 standards are unlikely to meet customers' increasingly high demands when multiple people are using metaverse-type applications in their homes at the same time.
Yeah, and so that's something that I've referred to in some of our reports in the fixed broadband program and in the video game entertainment program as the QoE gap, the quality of experience gap. So if you have a chart which left to right shows increasing broadband speed and bottom to top shows customer satisfaction with particular aspects of their service or their in-home connectivity, such as latency or Wi-Fi coverage within the home or overall reliability, then you see a nice clear increase where as customers get faster speeds up to kind of the mid 500, sort of like half a gigabit per second range, they get happier. And then when you go beyond that into kind of stuff towards a gigabit per second and beyond, consumers don't keep getting happier with their service. They don't keep saying, yeah, the latency is getting better. Yeah, the Wi-Fi coverage is improving, because you kind of just hit the limit of the technology of the in-home coverage of kind of standard Wi-Fi 6 deployments or even stuff with mesh or whatever else. And so consumers aren't getting the full benefits of those higher speeds due to issues with their in-home networking.
Exactly. And operators can address these issues by offering improved home connectivity to the consumers. And we've done a lot of research about this in the past year. And indeed, it's one of our key themes for the Fixed Broadband Services program going forward. Solutions like fiber to the room can improve latency and coverage in consumers' homes. And also Wi-Fi 7 compatible hardware as well can improve latency and coverage through features such as multi-link operation, which allow compatible devices to use multiple spectrum bands at the same time and improves latency. And these are just some of the ways that operators can help bridge this QoE gap that we've identified.
Yeah, and you know, our survey data confirms that consumers are open to this. So our survey says that after price, the most important issues that customers consider when they're changing broadband plans all relate to in-home connectivity. So a quarter of consumers specifically said that a new and better router would attract them to a new broadband plan, and better in-home propagation through higher powered routers, mesh, maybe FTTR. That's one way of approaching things. But the other way of approaching these things, of course, is to invest in processes, in software, and in AI that actually helps you improve things in a kind of more intelligent way.
Yeah, that's right. So the application of AI insights to network and IT operations, referred to as AIOps, and this can help automate processes and provide insight to customer support agents, which is really important with resolving problems around in-home connectivity, particularly those problems that we were discussing around QoE as well. Operator data sets are aggregated through AIOps to provide a consolidated view of network performance. And this is managed in a big data environment, which is then exposed to an AI platform. And operators can integrate the insights that they get through this AI process into predictive care and service management systems, which helps to automate workflows, provide better information about customer experience to customer support agents. And also, if you've got particularly tech-savvy consumers that are using operator support apps as well, AIOps can even provide insights to them to help them manage their own in-home networks and solve problems that they may have without the operator needing to intervene directly.
Great, well put. Yeah, I feel like in one of these future podcasts, I'd love for us to get our colleague Adora on the line as well, because she runs our DAD program, which looks at this all in a lot more detail than us guys do from the consumer telecoms point of view. But, you know, this hits the consumer proposition as well, which is why we're talking about it today. And there is so much opportunity here. I mean, you and I actually have seen in the conversations that we've had with operators for our upcoming fixed wireless access report that the processes internally within operators that link customer support, sales processes, and network visibility about what's actually going on in the network, be that in-home or the access network or in mobile base stations or whatever else, that's all an extremely manual process in a lot of cases still. So using AIOps to make some of that automatic and to better inform customer service agents and therefore resolve complaints more rapidly or improve first call resolution rates, it makes a lot of sense. And a regression analysis of our consumer survey data shows that consumers' perception of customer service in particular is the service element most closely associated with improved NPS. That's Net Promoter Score, which is the most popular metric, the most popular single number one can use to score overall customer satisfaction.
Yeah, exactly. And you're right, there is a lot of opportunity here, and it's something that we could talk about loads. So it's definitely something I'm really interested in pursuing in our research for the fixed broadband program as well. One thing that we haven't mentioned as well is that operators can also use AI ops to reduce costs. So automating processes, having fewer and quicker customer support calls will reduce operating expenditures from call centers. It can also lead to fewer site visits as well. All of that helps operators to reduce OPEX. And this is something that integrates with other operator connected home strategies as well. So in our other research into operator Wi-Fi strategies, for example, we've shown that Telenor Sweden has really doubled down on this cost reduction aspect of in-home connectivity, in that it offers a premium in-home connectivity solution to all of its customers with the aim of making sure that customers never really have to contact its customer support touch points about Wi-Fi. And they were very keen when we were talking to them to show that this has helped them to reduce costs. And AIOps is therefore like a logical extension of this strategy that we've seen other operators do with other in-home connectivity solutions.
Yeah, and AIOps isn't all, you know, everyone gets very excited about Gen AI. Lots of AIOps based solution stuff, it's separate from generative AI, but there is also a generative AI angle on this as well. I've seen some interesting case studies actually that we'll be publishing as part of a forthcoming paper. It's not on the website quite yet, but by the time you're listening to this, if you're listening to this in March or April, it'll be up there, saying that actually, you know, you can use LLM-based solutions, so large language model-based solutions, to create kind of conversational AI things that really improve customer service processes, both in terms of aggregating information from user manuals and whatever else through to visibility of what's going on in the network and making that understandable to non-technical people like customer service agents who aren't going to know all of the ins and outs of every part of the technical nature of network performance. So fun times ahead, and more stuff about generative AI and AIOps generally coming out across our research portfolio. But yeah, the DAD program is where a lot of this sits, but we're going to be writing about it in fixed broadband as well. And obviously that then spills over into the things that I write about in the video gaming and entertainment program as well. Now, looks like we're out of time. Thank you very much, Oliver, for talking us through what you've been working on. And a reminder to our listeners that there is a link to the article that Oliver wrote recently in the show notes. And then that article will also direct you towards our traffic forecasts and our other work on XR and metaverse type services. Thank you so much for listening. Have a good day.
Cheers. Cheers.